You can subscribe to The Spectator for 12 weeks for only £12 for our print and online editions, plus get 6 months of digital access free to The Telegraph. Go to spectator.co.uk/telegraph.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, The Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm John Connolly and I'm joined today by James Forsyth and Katie Balls. Today, Boris Johnson probably wasn't expecting the easiest time at PMQs after Manchester was forced into Tier 3 yesterday and parts of Yorkshire also moved into Tier 3 today. James, starts off today. How did you get on? And do you think Keir Starmer made enough political capital over that today?
I think one of the rules of PMQs is that whatever it is, we think it is going to be a big moment. One leader or other is hugely on the back foot. It turns out to be rather underwhelming. And that was very true today. Keir Starmer decided to kind of, if one was being kind, to kind of lay down a marker for the future by saying essentially, you know, how do these places get out of a Tier 3 lockdown? But I think if you were clipping PMQs for the 6 o'clock news, which is essentially the kind of way in which PMQs communicates itself to most voters, if at all, I think you would be struggling for a kind of moment of drama. There's probably kind of more parliamentary drama coming up later on today with the kind of votes on free school meals, for example, than you had in that PMQ session. Now, I mean, the question Keir Starmer asked is not wrong, which is, you know, what is the way that these places get out of Tier 3? I think that, you know, Boris Johnson was emphasising there'll be a review every 28 days. You look at France, they're now discussing extending the state of emergency until mid-February. I don't think there are very many people who think that places will get out of Tier 3, certainly this side of Christmas. And, you know, whether it'll be this side of, you know, the end of the winter or not is debatable too. But I think given how difficult a day it was for Boris Johnson yesterday, I think they will be fairly relieved at how PMQs went.
As James mentions, Keir Starmer was pressing Boris Johnson there on how you leave Tier 3. It almost sounded a bit like a lockdown sceptic position for a bit, Katie. Do you think that's what he was elaborating there, was it?
I think part of the reason it didn't feel like the big moment, or, you know, even as though Boris Johnson's massively on the back foot, and I think wider picture, Boris Johnson is on the back foot when you look at the difficulties of regional lockdowns, but in terms of PMQs didn't, was because Keir Starmer can sound lockdown sceptic, but he's the one calling for a national lockdown, be it a brief one. So therefore, I think if you're going to query the system and you're querying Tier 3, which is the strictest measures, you've got to explain why you don't think the strictest measures of Tier 3 will work, or, you know, you're questioning the government's approach, yet you think it's going to work on a national scale. And I don't think he did that thoroughly enough. And that's partly because of the format of Prime Minister's questions. Perhaps he has a great argument to put forward. But I think that meant that it didn't land so clearly. And I think that we saw last week Keir Starmer taking, you know, a different position from the government, which is a very clear different position for the first time. Not just a, you should be better at this, why don't you, you know, things that they're necessarily going to do. And now there is a dividing line. And I think that has been good for Keir Starmer to a degree. It's definitely cheered Labour MPs up. They support him on this. I think they thought he was a bit dithering previously. But it also does come with risk because we know his position now. And it means that if you want to point out other things, I think you've got to connect everything.
I think there is a way to square the circle for Keir Starmer, which is Patrick Vallance doesn't think, and Chris Whitty don't think Tier 3 alone are enough to get the R8 below 1. Chris Whitty is on the record as saying that what we know works is a national lockdown. So, you know, why don't we go for that? Now, I think that's a coherent position. And what was interesting actually yesterday, but at the press conference, Jonathan Van Tam, the Deputy Chief Medical Officer, was sounded so sceptical about a national lockdown, you know, really was essentially saying the kind of point that Boris Johnson makes, which is you look at some of these low infection rates in Cornwall and Norfolk, and it's hard to see what benefit placing, you know, shutting pubs and all that stuff in those places would do. But I think the Manchester situation, which you wrote about on Coffee House yesterday, John, you know, does illustrate the political problem here, which is essentially Westminster is kind of locking down places. And if the local leaders don't want to play ball, it becomes a very painful, difficult process. I still think that one of the big mistakes the government made when they went for this tiered programme was not to have clear criteria for how you come in and out of the tiers and kind of support packages that automatically go with it. So there isn't any of this negotiation. And you could do the COVID equivalent of the Bank of England setting interest rates would be to kind of hand it all over to the Joint Biosecurity Centre and they just come out and say, I'm terribly sorry, X place, you have now moved from Tier 2 to Tier 3. This is the support you're getting and this is what happens. I also think one kind of minor problem for them is Tier 3 was meant to be consistent, right? This was meant to simplify the rules. You know, when Boris Johnson got those rules wrong in the North East, you know, their part of their explanation was there's such a hodgepodge of rules that, you know, it's difficult to kind of get all. And I think the problem now is the rules do seem, the tier three rules do seem to vary a little bit in all these different places. And I think those inconsistencies will kind of slightly begin to irk, and also particularly to anger businesses that are in tier three when they can see their equivalents open in another part of tier three.
And James touched on the sort of the support for Greater Manchester. I think Boris Johnson confirmed at PMQ's day that Greater Manchester would get the sort of the 60 million that they were talking about in the negotiations. Why do you think Boris Johnson waited so long to confirm that, Katie? Or do you think that was a mistake?
I mean, I think it's a really good question. I don't think there's a completely clear answer. I think there are lots of Tory MPs asking why he put himself through a press conference, where it was brought up several times by journalists, and he didn't say, you know, this is on the table, only for about, I think, 20 minutes, half an hour after, you, at least perhaps not in a confirmed way, but you began to hear, you know, Downing Street sources suggesting that actually the 60 million was on the table. Now, lots of people don't pay attention to politics minute by minute, but I think at a time when it's affecting so many people, like, for example, the number of views that the Andy Burnham clip, where he's claiming only 22 million has already been watched, make people feel worried that actually it did do quite a bit of damage to the sequence of events.
Also, remember the news is at 6 o'clock and the press conference was at 5 o'clock.
Yes, and as James points out, it wasn't as though this was a completely unexpected event. We knew that the deadline had been missed, so you would have thought there's time to prepare the lines on that. I mean, I think now it has been clarified. I think Boris Johnson has been helped out a bit today by Dan Jarvis. Potentially Dan Jarvis is the new Steve Rotherham. We did hear his name a few times at Prime Minister's Questions. A Labour mayor they can point to as someone who's working with them, different to Andy Burnham. But the fact that, you know, with little drama, Dan Jarvis today just tweeted out, well, this is what we've agreed to move his area in Yorkshire into tier three, here's the amount, and we're doing it, you know. I think it'd be a stretch to say it was a dig or whatever, but, you know, he was saying, you know, we're doing it now to kind of balance the public health risks and make sure the money gets to people. Although Andy Burnham is definitely being talked up as a hero, and I think the perception does seem to be that by lots of people who watched what happened yesterday, the fact it's not had this ripple effect for all these regional mayors are suddenly saying, well, we're going to now do an Andy Burnham and have this press conference, I think is encouraging. I think that's partly why, actually, you know, lots of people are saying, well, why did these talks break down over 5 million? I think the perception in government is, A, what's the 5 million exactly for? But two, that 5 million, I think, they believe would have meant that other areas would suddenly say, well, hey, if that's how we get to the amount we need, let's all have these protracted long negotiations, which in a way, even this current situation is far from ideal and has generated lots of negative headlines, could be potentially an even more bruising situation for the government if everyone started doing it.
It's like we're back to no deal is better than a bad deal. James, you mentioned earlier that the government has probably got a bit of a tricky day ahead of them in terms of opposition day motions from the Labour side. What's Keir Starmer aiming for later today?
So there are two Labour motions today on their opposition day. One is about free school meals, this Margaret Rashford campaign the government should carry on providing and paying for them over half term. And the other one is on what they call a kind of one nation fair deal. So essentially it's the regional support for money going to places. I think the free school meals one, because of the connection with Marcus Rashford, because it's such an emotive issue, probably has kind of more direct cut through. And it's one of those ones where Tory MPs won't like the X voted against continuing free school meals over half term. Although I think, you know, that Rob Halfon, the Education Subcommittee Chair, is going to rebel. Anne-Marie Morris is going to rebel. It doesn't feel to me like there is a massive Tory rebellion brewing on this. I think there is a kind of sense among people that at some point on the kind of emergency spending front, you need to pause. And I also think that the mechanism that Rashford wishes to use is essentially a kind of voucherisation of welfare, which comes with its own problems. I don't think any Tory MP is going to be going through the lobby with a song in their heart, because they know that this will be a stick used by Labour to beat them in coming weeks and months. And I think, you know, there's, Katie was just pointing out to me, there'd be a kind of rather unfortunate Tory attempt by a Tory minister earlier today. Katie was just telling me on the way over here.
Yes, we had Paul Scully talking about free school meals and why the government should not extend them on Politics Live earlier. And he used the phrase, children have gone hungry for years. And obviously there is a context to everything, but I think any sentence you say where you can have a clip like that is clearly not what the government are trying to put across. When actually, I think there are quite a lot of Conservative MPs who obviously are worried about the optics in terms of Margaret Rashism is very popular. When it comes to the principles guiding this, they would be uncomfortable with this move to it being on the state. So I think they are sympathetic to the government's position, quite a few Tory MPs, but they want to be given enough help in saying it. And also just a sense that the government's not about to U-turn, because the government has had so many policy U-turns in the past, even on the past free school meals for the shorter period, that I think that there's definitely a frustration amongst Tory MPs that sometimes they'll go out to bat for something, get a little flack, and then the policy will go anyway.
Thank you, Katie. Thank you, James. And thank you for listening.